Tyee provides dedicated, additional dedicated outlet. And we were able to modulate Swan Lake and Tyee, just as we talked about in that first slide. But because there is non-additional dedicated outlet from Tyee, Swan Lake is at the mercy of rain. Period. And so we can only run Swan Lake to match the rain. And so we really, the only balancing we have right now at Swan Lake, without the STI, and without additional dedicated, is operating it in this manner to maintain a certain lake elevation. Looking at, we discussed the supplemental diesel. Did we have any more questions on that, Bob or Andy or anyone?
Well, you know, for me, wearing both hats, it's when is it most advantageous for us to turn off our diesels, give our crews a break, do the maintenance, all that other kind of stuff? And how does that work into the running Swan and its max efficiency and works into all those different schedules? What works best for us? And so I haven't quite put that together in my head yet. But.
Okay, I got an efficiency section.
Okay.
I'll touch on that a little bit more. But as far as turning diesels off completely, it would change the way the plans operate. So we'd be SEPA. As long as we're following this chart here, we absolutely say yes, we can run Swan Lake down to the draft limit if you want.
No, that's not the intent. I just want to make sure that we're you know, how is that all going to be managed as we continue to move forward? Because it's a kind of a moving target with the weather situation that we have.
Yeah, I agree. But the intent, I mean, at the end of the day, we do absolutely need to draft it to this draft limit. Everything below the draft limit every year is wasted. We don't ever get to use it. It's wasted water. It's seed and sales. And so if we don't draft it to the draft limit, that's the new draft limit, right? That's the limit for the year. So if we only went down to 290, everything below that was wasted water. So that's the importance of that draft limit and drafting down to it, and the importance of this chart here and having something where we can do that and how we do that with supplemental diesel, because that is absolutely something that we have to have in these times, especially. So looking at the Tyee lake level model, what we have here is, I'm going to zoom in on what this model actually has and what it entails. Looking here, you have the dotted line, that's kind of the orange dotted line. That's these are all with Tyee curtailed. This is all just how Tyee will react to Petersburg and Wrangell loads only. And every single one of these curves demonstrates different scenarios for different inflows. So what does 1994 to 1999 average look like? It looks like this dotted line right here. This one right here. What does the 2018 Tyee curtail inflow season look like? If we got exactly Tyee 2018 inflows, this is how Tyee would respond to Petersburg and Wrangell loads. And this is how it would look. The blue line down here is the draft limit that's being proposed, as what was proposed in 2019 of 1260. And then you can see this orange line is actually the perk limit. And that's what we can bring and actually draft the lakes down to. So everything below this blue line is wasted water. It's lost sales, it's wasted water, it continues, and it's not just wasted water this year, it's wasted every year. If we spill, it's wasted every year. Zooming in on this a little bit here, you can see there's a red and a green curve here. This year, CEPA proposes the red to be the guide curve as normal. However, we're deemed it, in addition to a guide curve, deeming it as a curtailment curve. That being, if we are above the red line and we're drafting Tyee at a rate to where we go below the red line, if we drop below the red line, then we would curtail if we were already in the non-curtailment period. So let me explain the sales curve. Right now, Tyee, we saw the chart on Tyee. If we get 2018 flows, it'll be right here in 2018. If we get better in 2018, we'll be up here in the sales or in the curtailment curve. We would need somewhere between 94 and 95 average for a few months to get above the green line. That green line is the sales curve. If we get above the sales curve, SEPA would balance the lakes using our load tables to try and maintain it above the red line. Because the longer we can maintain tide above the red line, the longer we can keep the SDI open, and the longer we can balance lakes, maximize efficiencies, and optimize outcome. Once, if at some point we are making sales and we drop below the red line, then we would come down. So in the middle, I'd say we call this the operations plan, and we intend to operate the lake. Anything in this area, or even above it, is a good thing. If we're above it, then we're probably going to be moving up to the spill. This plan shows that if we follow this curtailment and sales guide curves, at the sales curve, tide would have 30 feet, approximately 20 feet at the curtailment curve. So between 20 to 30 feet, the maximum draft there next year will remain in tide. Any questions on that?
We were drafting this last year at half a foot a day, weren't we? During that spring.
Bob, turn on your mic.
So, in February, early February, we had a polar vortex. And during that polar vortex, tide was drafting more than half.
One and a half a day.
More than half. It was, what was it, Ed, if you recall, 8 tenths or something?
I don't recall.
For the 2 weeks, it was drafting. I think 5 tenths to 8 tenths a day when we had that polar vortex. That was a 2 week period. There was a warming period in there where it started to only draft at 3 tenths a day. And once you start getting any kind of rain inflows, it goes to 0 tenths a day, or it doesn't draft. It goes up. There was even times last year where in February where we gained 5 or 6 feet.
Yeah, but for those 2 months, I'm just trying to put frame this in my own mind. For those approximately 2 months, we were drafting at about an average, about a half a foot a day. I agree with you, it's higher or lower.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, about a half a foot a day.
Okay, that's my question.
And that would be in February.
Yeah,
in March and April, it's more like, if there was no rain, it'd be more like 2 tenths or 3 tenths a day. For
yeah.
Really depends on temperature, like 0.67% per day.
Okay,
thanks. Yep. So this is very conservative. And Trey mentioned this in the beginning. This is super, super conservative. What this is doing is saying, last year we had a 26-foot deficit. When we got into February and we needed to utilize some of Swan Lake to try and reconcile, we didn't. We had 26 feet that we had to make up. That's what Tyee Lake was short. Some of that was made up from Swan Lake, and some of that was made up by the board approved decision just now of the diesel payment. So the diesel made up some of that deficit. But we put the contingency in this plan because SEPA can't keep affording to pay for diesel. Trey mentioned it would take one of two things. It would take a rate increase if we were to support that, or if we did nothing, the end result would probably be bankruptcy if you kept paying for diesel for utility. So that's something we couldn't take risks on. And so we put this 20 to 30 feet in there to account for the 26-foot deficit we saw last year. But it's extremely conservative, and if we continue to do that, this guy, because it's a curtailment curve, becomes a new draft limit. And that new draft limit means that everything below this is wasted water. I just talked about Swan Lake, the same way I'm talking about that. We have those years where we go, 96 to 97, and then back to 98, where we need to capture the water. We need to draft the lake. We need to capture it so we can use it the next year. If we don't, we'll just waste it. And it will absolutely result in a rate increase. There's no way that reduced sales at this rate could last very long. Looking at Petersburg and Wrangell, when we first put this out, the operations plan, we sent it out to all the folks on the Tuesday operations call, and we wanted comments, and we got a lot of comments, and this was one of them. So we integrated this into the plan, which is similar to Swan Lake. And I think, Robert, did you have a question?
No, just maybe a point of clarification. So that 30 feet, we're approving it in our ops plan, but that 30 feet is also available, if, for instance, if we have a catastrophic failure at Lime Slough or at Bailey Plant, that we could use that with board approval to get us through a tough spot.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's, you're not saying we can't use that.
No, absolutely yes. Not. It's a curtailment curve only.
Yep.
So it means that we cannot, below that, we cannot make sales to Ketchikan.
Without approval of the board.
Without approval of the board. Well, what that's saying is, because this is a model of what Tai and Petersburg loads are, it would have to be, we would have to see a significant drought to go below that. And so this effectively becomes similar to a draft. This is not the draft limit. This is the draft limit down here, the blue line, and that is at 1260. And at that point, SEPA would cease all sales from Tahiti. But this is just showing you how much water, how much contingency we're leaving in Tahiti as a function of additional dedicated water. So this could have been used as additional dedicated. And because we don't have the availability to if we get to, let's say we're sitting right here at this time and at this date, because we don't have, we're below the line, we can't draft it down to the draft. Because Ty, Petersburg, and Rango are going to make, the lake's going to respond like that. So, do you see what I'm saying? The reason why we've been so conservative and want to do it this year is, one, A, the 26-foot deficit from last year, and B, the continued drought that we're in. But what Trey mentioned earlier is this can't be a year-to-year eternal thing. At least not this conservative.
No, just to follow up. So I view that as somewhat of an insurance policy for catastrophic failure someplace else in the system as well. So, I mean, there is that.
Absolutely.
So
insurance.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
My question is part of this, at what point do you see it, a change in this? In other words, proposing some different guide curve?
Well,
what's your criteria to use to make that decision?
I'd say right now we don't know where we are or where we're going when it comes to terms of weather. Because you saw the EC, the equal chance. They can't tell us either way whether or not we're going to be above average, below average. So there is no confidence that SEPA has in building the model. So we have to be conservative, because the risk to what we're doing is mitigating risk, and it has to be mitigated somewhere. If not, and we went back to the similar pattern and we actually followed, let's say we followed 2018, but we started making sales so that we would come down to the draft. And let's say we didn't get 2018, we got the new 2018, or we got worse than 2018. Then there would be a second diesel, or there'll be another diesel campaign in Petersburg and Wrangell. And that's something that the agency just can't afford to keep doing. So that is why we have this here. But my point is, we need to mitigate risk somewhere else other than water in the lakes, because leaving water in the lakes as risk mitigation is going to be at the cost of a rate increase. It just has to be, because you're just not selling the water. So you can't keep a product on the shelf and not expect the price to go up unless you move it. Does that make sense?
So Robert. So one of the disadvantages of that is, as tough as it was on Wrangell and Petersburg, because they sold power south and then we got into this diesel and had to reimburse them, it would be equally bad for Ketchikan if we ended up on the curtailment having to burn a lot of diesel in Ketchikan, and we never had access to that 30 foot and the lakes start to fill in. So we burn diesel without using the resource.
If we spill.
Yeah.
if we spill, yes, absolutely, your statement is 100% correct. So we got many stories were written that SEPA oversold last year. So there's this balance. The ultimate balance is that we reach the draft limit at both lakes and nobody burns diesel, right? Perfect day. Will never happen. You either oversell or you undersell. Always, period. There's no such thing as a perfect draft. So you scrutiny on the oversell is the fact that the diesel payment we just had. We had to, you know, it looked like we oversold. We need to take into consideration reimbursement at some time in the future to where the agency, we can utilize that and the risk can be mitigated somewhere else. And then, and I'll discuss that in a little bit, but the ideal situation would be that water that's being stored there could be stored possibly at Swan, and reimbursement or reconciliation could be a part of mitigating the risk of going below that draft limit. Does that make sense? And then you utilize both lakes. And so what was considered to be oversold was not. It was stored and dispatched and used to maximize both lakes and to maintain the wholesale rate. So that's something that we significantly need to consider here in the future.
Go ahead, Trey.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to circle back to, I think, some points that were being made, and with regard to, you know, having that reserve there. I think the takeaway from that is, sure, you know, we could never make any sales out of Tyee, and we could keep Tyee filled up all the time and above. Have robust reserves, but it all comes at a cost. And so just think about it, to put it, kind of capture it and put it in perspective. This last year, let's just call it, the expense was $1 million. So if we, on average, make sales out of Tyee that exceed that every single year, and then we employ a new way to dispatch that doesn't allow us to make those sales. For one anomaly year that cost you $1 million, you're gonna give up $1 million or $2 every single year just to have that small security blanket there. So philosophically, you have to figure out, do we wanna handle these anomalies, or do we want to, you know, make sure that our backup generation is more robust. You know, some people also forget we have multiple contingencies now. If you have a major failure of a diesel unit on the north or south, you know, there's a likelihood that could be covered in a different way because it's all interconnected now. You know, before the STI, you didn't have that option, but as the board's discussed before, you know, if the north or the south needed help with some supplemental diesel or some temporary coverage from either the lakes or from the member utilities diesels, that's available. So there's multiple contingencies now. So I think that's the salient point to come away with. We can get real conservative there, but it's at a cost, and it's at a cost that potentially happens every year. And you know, eventually you'll have to raise rates if that were to be a prolonged thing. Hopefully that was helpful.
Yes, Lisa. Your mic, please.
Yeah. So I'm trying to formulate things. We are taking an ultra conservative approach right now because we have no confidence in the weather, and we could very well see a very similar weather pattern this summer as we did, or this year as we did last year, and that would not be good for anybody. So that's why we're taking this ultra conservative approach. Do you see a time where you will have confidence again, other than just it starts to rain, we're looking outside and it's starting to rain, and then just continues to rain, where that you're going to have a better comfort level with the forecast that NOAA is going to be able to give you?
I do.
Okay.
I see that, because right now the
NOAA forecasts are based on lots of models. They do that, I have 7 different models.
Right.
But it really has to do with averages and then above and below those averages. And so with the PDO not knowing the new average, how do you know what's above and below the new average? And I think that's where we need to get to be able to establish that. A, and B, there's always going to be that anomaly. And when that anomaly happens, if we do this, let's say that anomaly doesn't happen for another 20 years, but we're waiting for it every year, and we're keeping that 30 feet in there, and every year we fill that 30 feet. The organization, somebody's, the ratepayers have to pay for that, because that's lost sales. 30 feet in Tyee, it's worth 12. I have to do the numbers in my head, but it's probably worth 15,000 megawatt hours. Multiply that by $68, and you're talking millions, right? So, I mean, every year we do that. Somebody that has, if the organization keeps getting cut like that, because we want more higher draft limits or more risk mitigation, more insurance policies, as might be considered by some of the ratepayers, that it's an insurance policy. Well, all of that cuts, and you'll see just from our fiscal statements, that our revenues are going down, but our fixed costs are going up. People have to get more money because that's inflation. The cost of steel is more expensive every year, so to fix these generators goes up. Copper costs go up. Everything is going up, the revenues are going down. So there's something that has to happen, and the only thing that can happen is an increased rate. We have maintained 6.8 cents since 1999. And since 1999, the industry has increased 58%. So we have a discrepancy of 58%. In 2009, when the STI went in, we started making sales at Tyee. Tyee was a stranded asset. Because the STI was funded fully by the state, we were able to use those additional dedicated sales, and we were able to maintain that 6.8 cents for another 10 years. That's the only thing I can see that's maintained that low rate. And if we cut that off now, I think we'd have to hire a third firm to figure out what that new rate needs to be. So that's kind of where we're at. We're in a really balanced scenario here. And I understand it's a real touchy subject on the whole water concern, whose water is this. But at the end of the day, SEPA, we're all SEPA. Petersburg, Ketchikan, Wrangell, we're all SEPA. And so we need to ensure that all of us pay the same low rate by doing what's best for all the assets and facilities so that it helps all the ratepayers. And that's kind of what we're looking at. And this 30 feet here, like I said, it's low risk. And it's based on the fact that SEPA can't take another hit on like a diesel surcharge. So we wanted to ensure that we had that low risk, but we need more. We need something else to mitigate that risk, so we need to keep opening these discussions.
Can I ask a question?
Go right ahead. Go.
Thank you. So, Robert, just kind of thinking about this structurally, how far below the red curtailment line do you have to get before your essentially telling Petersburg and Wrangell we can't deliver out of Tyee?
Well, so last year we went to 1260 and we broke through the draft limit and we lowered the draft to 1258. Technically we have to 1250 before we hit the FERC limit.
Are you envisioning that it to function the same way as we did this last year?
I am not, because there is no additional dedicated output. In a typical year, when we have sales across the STI, SEPA can actually adjust the rate of draft at Tyee by reducing the amount of power sent across the STI. And we can bring it into the draft limit and bring it out and capture as much as we possibly can. We at Tyee this year are at the same mercy of the rain as Swan Lake is in Ketchikan. So I see, if we got a worst case scenario, that we would be 2018, we would still have 20 feet, 15 to 20 feet in the land.
Yeah, but Robert, we're still, just for clarity to Joel's point, if I may, we're still recommending a draft limit of 1260 for this operations plan.
Right.
So this is kind of where we're looking over here. We're anticipating, we're hedging our bets to make sure we have enough reserve. But worst case scenario, we're going to draft it down to the draft limit or maybe ask the board to lower it a little bit more to get the northern communities by without having to burn diesel. I mean, that's clearly the intent here.
I think what you're asking, the main thing is why? Why did we put a red and green line in there? And that is, if we just said, let's curtail Tyee for a year, that would be irresponsible. Say, okay, you know, Tyee's just curtailed until it rains. We had to have some kind of model that says, well, if it does start raining and it reaches something, when do we open sales? We need to open that discussion. When does sales begin? Because that's how SEPA maintains the whole sale rate, and we need to know that we can have the ability to make sales. So that's what the red line is. If we are in the mode of making sales, because we hit the green line, and it goes dry again, and it comes back down to the red line, then we stop sales. And that makes sure that we don't get into that risky 26-foot deficit zone.
So, Robert, looking at the time, let's keep rolling on the ops plan here. We're anticipating a call in for the executive session about 3:00. So, we just want to try to keep this on board here. Don't want to squelch any questions, but keep us rolling here.
One of the new sections of the operations plan is balancing lakes, and how do we do that across the SDI? So, if we had sales to the south from the SDI, and we were in a normal operating mode, we would utilize load tables. So section 7 is balancing lakes as it pertains to the power sales agreement. And one of the things that the power sales agreement does state is that SEPA is required to maximize utilization. That's to utilize everything we possibly can out of the lakes. The other thing is it requires us to optimize output. That's basically running them as efficiently as we can. Don't waste any water. So use what you got, and don't waste what you got. Because the rain, if it fills and spills, then you did maximize it. And then it requires us to perform A and B, which is maximizing utilization, optimizing output, through the use of water management and efficient dispatch. And that is what we term, coined the phrase within the agency as balancing the lakes. So just looking at load tables, we go through this every week on a Tuesday operations call. We send out a load table. Right now, of course, the load table is just Tyee's and isochronous, and Swan's and isochronous, so it doesn't really have any transfer of energy across the SDI. But on a normal operations call during the normal year, the load table would be such that, for example, in this case, at a SEPA load of 12 megawatts for a total system load, that's adding up everyone's load, Swan Lake would come on. Swan Lake would begin, a single unit would come on. And all the way up until, like, for example, 33 megawatts, each additional megawatt, Swan would be either loaded or Tyee would be loaded. And you can change this table any way you want to account for how the lakes are drafting and what speed they're drafting. So I can draft Swan Lake faster, or I can draft Tyee faster. And we all know that if we're all connected together, if I draft Tyee fast, then Swan Lake's going to slow down. And if I draft Swan fast, then Tyee's going to slow down. And that's exactly what we did last year in 2018 when we were starting to make that turn. We're like, whoa, Tyee's drafting too fast. So we started to change the load tables and trying to draft Swan, but then we had to get to an equilibrium. So we added this section to it, talks about load tables. I just discussed what this load table does, how it works. Section 7.2 goes into efficiency curves, and I wanted to get into this a little bit. Swan Lake has a really small zone for efficiency. If you look at it, from about 9.5 megawatts to 12 megawatts, the units can run efficiently. Anything below that, they drop off very significant. For example, you get down to 4 megawatts, you're running at 80% efficient, losing 10 to 15% efficiency out of the unit. What you have here for this curves is